A problem is a chance to see a solution. Then I do my best. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. A problem is a chance to see a solution, and then I do my best. Now, we provide the thought for today for people who would like to have it, and anyone is welcome to subscribe to the thought for today. There's no charge. You can receive it on your email. You can receive it in many ways on your computer. You can use it. You can rebroadcast these talks if you find them charming or delightful. You can use them in any way you want. And you can quote me or not quote me. The only thing that's important is that the concept, the idea, the thought finds a greater and greater audience. And that's why we give the thought for today. So if you have any suggestions or ideas or improvements or ways that we can do better things to get the thought for today across to everyone who'd like to have it, just let me know. And we'll respond. As my son says on his answering service, please leave your name and number and a real person will call you back. I think he must think that his voice on there was not a real person, but it certainly was. A problem is a chance to see a solution, and then I do my best. We were talking about the movie that we saw last night, the Dead Poets Society. And I'd seen it before several times, and we're going to see it again after this talk this morning, because it had some, not hidden meanings to it, but some hidden concepts in it that we overlooked as we were so tied up in the emotion of the moment. But one of the most beautiful things that we were able to get out of it, there's so many beautiful things really, was when there was a young man in the class who was afraid to get up and talk. I was afraid of getting up and talk. And his teacher knew why. His teacher knew that he had no self-confidence. He had no belief that he was worthwhile. And so the teacher came to him at one point. He didn't overdo it, but he came to him at one point and he says, "Now, in this story, the dog was going growk," or something like that. "Growk." And he says, "Now I want you to make the sound growk." And the boy says, "Growk." And he said, "Now come on, get up here. Stand up in front with me here. Now, growk." And so he growked in the boy's face, and the boy made it a little louder. He did it three or four times, and each time a little louder. And finally, he made it like a terror, "Ouch!" You know, and the boy came back. It's just like he had released a time bomb in him. And he came back with, "Ouch!" And then he started speaking. And he said, "I feel a terror inside of me, which I'm releasing now, which I'm letting go, and I feel something is moving out of me." And he put his hands over his eyes so he wouldn't see anything else. And then as he was talking, it sounded a little silly, and the boys in the class started laughing. And he says, "Don't hear them. You just close your eyes and close your ears and you just talk. Say what's in your heart. Say it." And he got him to talk and talk. And he talked for two or three minutes. And he got him to let go of the bars of the cage that he was in. And they were all spread asunder. And he was free. And from that time on, he was free. One class, one meeting, one chance, hardly a chance. The teacher knew what he was doing. He sounded silly. He sounded idiotic. He sounded outrageous. Other teachers looked in on his class and they thought, "What sort of nonsense is going on in there? They're supposed to be learning poetry." But he was teaching them the poetry of their own soul, the music and passion of their own soul, and then how to find it in other writers that they were looking at and learning about. And I would imagine the ones in that class not only learned the poet and the poetry of the poets, but they learned the magic of themselves in response to all of life's poetry. It was just so beautiful. They had one young man who fell in love with this girl, and she was sleeping on a couch, and he happened to sit down next to her and realized it. And he wanted to touch her. He wanted to be the most gentle, loving, sensitive person you could ever be. And then finally he kissed her on the forehead, you know, and he felt like he was in heaven. Now, you see, that's a sensitivity. That's not sexuality. It's not gross morality, but it's sensitivity. It's a caringness. It's a depth. All the other attitudes that went on in the show about it, where people were gross and base in their attitudes, those are not important, but they show us what happens when we have our base nature, when we allow ourselves not to take the problems that we're faced with and treat them as loving examples of something. A problem's a chance to see a solution. Now, what sort of solutions are you looking at in your life? This morning I gave an illustration and Sylvia was upset about the illustration. She said, "Oh, now just a minute." And I must remind all of you, when God speaks, and I don't mean that I'm your God that's speaking to you, I speak to myself. When God speaks, you ask God, "Can I kiss that girl?" You know? And God says, "Yes, you can." And then you run out and kiss the girl, and she swats you, and you fall on the ground, and you say, "God, you said I could kiss her." You didn't listen. I said you could kiss her, but if you did, she'd clobber you and knock you to the ground. You see, we don't listen long enough. We just let our emotions run away with us when we hear the problem. Oh dear, the problem is so great, it's so terrible. And then when we look at it from that point of view, it is great and it is terrible. But the minute we look at it with hearts filled with love, with expectation of peace and harmony and goodness, then the solution instantly comes into our hearts and our minds, and there is no longer any need for tears. You see, it's so interesting, and we probably notice that, how the tears can be turned on and off. I have people coming into my office for counseling, you know, and constantly, and I keep a box of Kleenex there for them. And I say, "One box of Kleenex only." And I said, "Your tears do not cause me to be concerned about you. Your tears are only a way of you trying to manipulate my thoughts about you. And I see you as a beautiful, wonderful, fantastic, joyous, happy person, man, woman, or child, doesn't matter. And I see you successful in anything you want to do, but you don't understand. I understand that if you get the right attitude in your mind, you will have the solution to any problem you want. If you begin liking yourself, you'll have the solution to anything that faces you, and it doesn't matter what. If you begin to like yourself, if you begin to think happy thoughts." Now, we had an email this morning from one of our students, and the student said, "I sent you the information you asked. Didn't you receive it?" And, of course, I sent her a response to the information that she gave to us immediately when she sent it, and I said, "Thank you very much." And she responded to that and said, "You're welcome." And now she writes, "Didn't you get it?" You know? Didn't you get it? Now, damn mighty God, why don't you pay attention to him? Oh, you think I'm going to let emotions like that bother me? I just say, "We got it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Happy that you reminded us that we got it." Because we do have it. But you see, we can get our emotions so up and so tight and so angry and so unhappy, and we close off all the enzyme systems that are flowing out of our little glands in our body, and then we wonder why we're all nervous and upset, and we wonder why our body is just full of hell, you know. And it is hell, boy, I tell you. But the minute we start loving, then the enzymes start flowing. All of them start flowing beautifully. I sent a little article out that I paraphrased from a couple of other places yesterday. And in it, it said that love is one of the greatest healing agencies in the world. If we would just love our body, love ourselves, love our world. We love our world, wars cease. We love our body, illness ceases. We love ourselves, we are magnificent. Now, that's true, and we all know that's true. Why don't we do it? Because we have a love affair with problems. We think it's too great a problem. It's too great. The world is too big for us to see peace on earth. The world is too big for us to amend all of the bad things that have been done to the atmosphere. And you know, the Greenpeace people are trying to bring about an atmospheric condition that's beneficial for all the world. That's great stuff, you know. But you see, they're going in with the wrong point of view. Just one person is going to make a difference. One person who believes entirely. And that could be you. That should be you. One person with an absolute belief brings about an absolute result. Are you ready for that? Are you going to be the solution, or are you going to be part of the problem? And we're part of the problem when we think there's a problem. We are the solution when we think we're the solution. Our thought, our attitude, our mind. It's wonderful. Yeah, we're great people. I enjoy being with me. I'm a great person. I enjoy my company. Don't you?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, if you enjoy your company, remember, a problem is a chance to see a solution, and then you do your best, following that solution and bringing about great results. Have a happy, happy, happy day. You're in my heart in every single way. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Thank you.